From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The U.S. military is in the midst of one of the biggest troop movements in decades, rotating forces into and out of Iraq, Kuwait, and Afghanistan. One unit that's about to come home is the 28th Combat Support Hospital, or CASH. Last March, its 350 members traveled into Iraq from Kuwait and set up a tent hospital in the desert. Later, they moved on to Baghdad, and now they're in a facility that once catered to Saddam Hussein's relatives. They're the largest U.S. military hospital in Iraq, and they've been working steadily for more than 10 months. As NPR's Ann Garrels reports, there will be no respite until they get on a plane for home.
Since the 28th CASH opened its doors, nearly all U.S. casualties have passed through its emergency room. Wounded soldiers are choppered here, and the staff has seen far more than they anticipated. Some soldiers come already dead. Some arrive with one arm instead of two, a shattered leg, or a face wiped out by an explosion. Major Ben Gonzalez from Mesa, Arizona, is chief of emergency medicine.
Every day seems like a bad, surreal episode out of MASH.
Most of the wounded soldiers only stay here for 2 or 3 days. Once stabilized, those requiring further treatment are quickly sent to medical facilities in Germany or Washington. Short as their stay may be, it's an intense time for the CASH.
The worst, when you know someone is going to die or they have a life-threatening injury or limb-threatening injury, and you come to the point where you have to tell them your injury is life-threatening, or there's a possibility that you're going to lose your arm, or your buddy lost his life.
It's day in, day out, with no break.
Every single day, day in, day out, the last 10 months.
For the staff of the 28th CASH, this is a relatively quiet day. But while the number of attacks has decreased since Saddam's arrest in December, eye surgeon Dr. Eric Bladen says numbers miss the point.
It appears that the numbers of attacks have gone down, but the severity and the effects of the attacks have remained the same or gotten worse. It looks like the mode of attacks is now car bombs, and they're getting more sophisticated and more deadly.
Focusing on the number of deaths can be misleading. Because of medical advances and improved expertise in the field, soldiers who once would have died are surviving, but many will suffer amputations or brain damage. Perhaps more important is the number of wounded, now at nearly 3,000. Up in the ICU, Chief Nurse Major William Greenlee proudly shows off one of his sergeant's latest creations. What looks like a cardboard homeless shelter has saved more than 50 lives.
This is it. This is the Chief Cuddler. In short, it warms up a patient when they come back from surgery. Patients generally come back 90 degrees or less in some cases. That's it.
A hairdryer bought on the local market blows warm air through a hole in the cardboard box covering the patient. Greenlee thinks it actually works better than a more sophisticated device already on the market.
The whole hospital comes up asking for the Chief Cuddler.
Hospital Commander Colonel Beverly Pritchett has nothing but praise for her team's ability to improvise. But she's angry they have to resort to this. A shortage of medical supplies has been a big disappointment.
And this is a very sensitive subject, so the medical logistics system was energized so late in the process that they weren't here early enough to be able to stock up fast enough to be able to get us the supplies when we needed them. It's very frustrating when a physician and a surgeon comes to me and says, I need this, and 8 weeks later, I still can't give them that. Because I know if I got on the phone and used my own credit card, I could get it here in shorter periods of time than that.
Your heart is weak, you know what I mean?
Weak?
Yeah. Not strong, but
weak.
Tired.
Not good.
While its main focus is American soldiers, the CASH also treats Iraqis, something else many had not anticipated. Treatment's supposed to be limited to Iraqis immediately associated with the U.S. administration, such as members of the Governing Council, but others appear.
Well, they don't just let us see anybody.
But soldiers often bring victims of attacks or individuals who might otherwise die. Cardiologist Major Bill Dixon says no one who slips in gets turned away.
I will give you about 3 months worth. You know what I mean? 3 months?
Yes, yes.
And then you need to see your doctor in Baghdad here.
The staff is also required to treat enemy prisoners of war.
Paging Sergeant Briggs.
I got you.
Paging Sergeant Briggs.
A suspected Iraqi fighter, reportedly wounded while setting off a bomb, is wheeled in. He's tethered to a stretcher with leather restraints. and is accompanied by MPs. Major Gonzalez says he tries to keep soldiers and their Iraqi attackers separated. But that's not always possible, and this can lead to problems.
We've seen that a lot. That one instance of the guy, an Iraqi, who stabbed an American, and the American's buddy was there, hurt from the blast injury of that same incident. They're all three of them, I was taking care of them, they were all three of them in the same room. This American soldier saw that. It was a very tense moment when he recognized who it was, and he wanted to get up and kind of, you know, react. And I remember that day.
The staff say they treat these people as they would anyone else. But 27-year-old nurse Wendy Woodall confesses it's not always easy.
And having to deal with the Iraqis that have been caught, that have done acts against us or coalition forces, and that's kind of upsetting, yes. It's a constant moral dilemma. Taking care of these guys.
And unlike American soldiers, enemy prisoners stay in the hospital until they recover and can be moved to a jail. That could take months.
In general, for the most part, they're very appreciative of our care. Most of them will apologize to us for what they may have done. We've had a few rare incidents where some have threatened us, or we've actually found them have weapon, like a broken toothbrush, and going to use it as a weapon.
When they got real good veins like that, you want to pull a little slow. You hear that? That's the vein is collapsing, sucking in. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do it too strong.
Throughout the hospital, Iraqi doctors work as translators. Fearing he might be targeted by anti-U.S. forces, this Iraqi physician is loath to give his name.
I can't say that because sometimes I may face a lot of difficulties if someone hears me or... You know, it's a dangerous work.
As part of its duties, the CASH is training Iraqi medical teams who may one day return to this hospital when the U.S. eventually leaves. This Iraqi doctor translates for a group of Iraqi nurses.
They are so astonished when they saw the instruments, the type of the work of the American team, because in our hospitals, they just give the injection, that's it.
The CASH work schedule is unrelenting. And social worker Lieutenant Colonel John Uriarte says exhausted doctors often find themselves taking care of stressed out soldiers.
I think we see soldiers who are more short-tempered. They have short fuses. And what might be a mild confrontation with someone could end up turning into a fight. It could end up charges of assault or firing their weapon in a situation that they might not otherwise would have done.
As departure day nears, Commander Beverly Pritchett says it's even more dangerous.
Your first 30 days and your last 30 days are the most dangerous time periods for any soldiers. Those first 30 days, you don't know what to be aware of. In your last 30 days, you forget you need to be aware of them. We've seen a lot of soldiers start to let their guard down.
Her chaplain and mental health teams are also preparing the CASH for transition back to the States, which is also not without risks. Colonel John Uriarte.
I think right now people are sort of bordering on being a little anxious and at the same time being excited about the prospect of going out back home.
The chaplain's meeting regularly with members of the 28th CASH to discuss reunion issues, the feelings and emotions that might arise with this, their next great challenge. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.